Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 25, the righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Great Lucas.
You an African-American? You believe that's your heritage? Do you know who you are? King, queen? Nigga with back? Do you shine like a star? Think they gon' tell us? We gon' expose them? They gon' take your life? So many secrets in the vault? Do this knowledge cost? Hop in the book tomorrow? Do you follow these laws? Do they still exist? Have time to wait? Do we have grace? Continue in sin? I'ma ask you again. Walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back?
No.
Forward to the kingdom? Everybody got choices.
Is it cool to be gay? Did he make us straight? Is the Most High plan? You gon' learn today? Do you understand grace? Remember Noah's day? Did more than 8 people live? Will it be the same way? Is a broad way to heaven? Is a broad way to hell? You choosing death over life? Change your life? Do you love these streets? Do you see police? You wanna get shot down? Do you remember my ground? You ever read your Bible? You wanna know your job? You know you more than a slave? Don't you wanna be saved? You ever been baptized? Wanna get in that water? Ever confess your sins? Ready to lift your hands? Amen.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back?
No.
Forward to the kingdom?
Simple life? Should I repent and be baptized? Will Amalek ever be nice? Was our Savior crucified? Does this world love the Most High? Is the wicked gonna burn? Will he power forever? Will we ever get our turn? Whose side to choose from? You got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? The Most High or Satan? Whose side to choose from? You got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose?
Got to choose.
Alright. You gonna learn today. Alright. You gonna learn today.
All right. Shalom, good morning. Baruch Hashem, Yahweh Hashem, Yahweh Shai, work a thumb to the 12 tribes worldwide. Greetings. It's your brother, that guy, Mashaba. And you've reached another episode of ISBHPK Presents Bible Talk Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We do the ISBHPK Bible Talk Podcast every Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to about 12:30 Central Standard Time. Right here at www.blogtalkradio.com. /MASHAHBA, or you can call in to area code 646-668-2568. Again, that's Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. Usually start from 10 a.m. to about 12, sometimes 12:30. Monday through Thursday, you can catch us. And then, again, on Friday nights, you can catch us where our podcast is done. Friday Night Bible Breakdowns with the Brother Barnabod. Every Friday night, starting at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, goes to about 9, maybe 9:30. Every Friday night, again, you can catch our live ISBHBK Bible Talk podcast going on at those times. On Mondays, you got me, Mashaba. I guess you got me on Mondays since you had the weekend to rest up and prepare for me and and my antics and what I'll be going through and stuff. Now on Mondays, then we come back with the excellent current events class and history classes with the brother Tazapa, the brother, the priest, the prophet, the coach, Tazapa. With Tazapa Tuesdays, where he goes over current events and topics and history. Doing a great job. You definitely want to tune in for that. I get back again on Wednesday, and then Tazapa is now picking up on Thursdays with FYI for your information. For any questions that he gets, he dedicates Thursdays to answer anybody's questions that they might have. So those are some days you definitely want to check out is Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then obviously, again, come back on Friday nights, starting at 7. To catch the brother Barnabod as he goes over Bible breakdowns and just give us some good understanding. Bible breakdowns every Friday night starting at 10 p.m. Again, all these times are Central Standard Time. I've been a part of the ISBHBK Network of Schools, the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge Network of Schools. We have schools across the nation, across America. In San Antonio, we have a school located at 4444 Walsham, suite number 201, San Antonio, Texas, 78218. The priest getting contact there is the brother of Warner Iyer. You can reach him at area code 210-862-2643 or the brother Shamshuan at area code 505-387-9609. If you're out of town or you're not in the San Antonio area and you'd like to check out the classes that are taught here in San Antonio, check the school out. If you go to YouTube, to ISBHBK San Antonio, and you'll be able to catch the classes there every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. And again on Saturdays, Sabbath mornings, starting at 10 a.m. With the Sabbath class. Please check them out and show support. To help keep the school running here in San Antonio, we ask that you check out the kiosk. Located right in front of the Shoe Palace at Rolling Oaks, the first floor of Rolling Oaks Mall here in San Antonio, called Eastern Fragrances. Now, Eastern Fragrances, you can get the latest in your designer cologne perfume oils for men, women, and children, as well as incense oils with the beautiful Egyptian vases, tear catcher bottles. Check them out. And remember, once you make a purchase with Eastern Fragrances, that any of the bottles that you get, it's half-price refills. So when the bottle's empty, and which will last forever, is the actual oil that your colognes and perfumes are made from without the water, the chemicals, and all the harsh additives, just the pure oil. When the bottle's empty, bring it back to the kiosk for half-price refills. So whatever bottle you purchase, whenever it's empty, don't throw it away. Bring the bottle back and get half-price refills. That's Eastern Fragrances. And then they also have another movie company. They'll keep the school running here in San Antonio called On the Mark Moving. On the Mark Moving, as it sounds, is a moving company that is licensed, insured, and bonded here in San Antonio that can handle anything you need moved, from an apartment to a house to an office to a storage to an attic. You name it. If you need something moved, contact them, On the Mark Moving. And they have an office also at Rolling Oaks Mall on the dealer's end of the mall, on the far north end of the mall. Check out On the Mark Moving. It's on the second floor of Rolling Oaks Mall, or just go by the school. Really, that we want to challenge everybody there anyway. Go by the school, 4444 Walsham, suite number 201, San Antonio, Texas, 78218, or contact the brother Samson Watt, 505-387-9609. And understand that when you support Eastern Fragrances or On the Mark Moving, You're really out helping support the school here in San Antonio. If you have any donations, beyond financial donations, that you'd like to help support the school here in San Antonio, be it Bibles, apocryphals, dictionaries, computers, laptops, tablets, printers, printer paper, even vehicles, trucks, vans, box trucks. If you want to donate, it will help the school out. Please contact Brother One Eye or Sam Chuan, or go by the school once again. All right, for our schools in Houston, Norfolk, and Rochester, there's a website set up at isbhpk.com, at isbhpk.com, where you'll find links to Coach Creations, Sweet Ambiance, and Israelware. Coach Creations offers you the latest and greatest in home decor, Hebrew Israelite home decor, and custom-made jewelry, as well as Sweet Ambiance, where you can purchase, get a subscription, Sweet Ambiance, where you can get the latest in skincare, bath therapy products, from custom handmade soaps, custom handmade lotions, custom handmade beard and body oils, custom handmade candles. Go to the website isbhpk.com and check out and start your subscription to Sweet Ambiance. And then there's also Israelware. If you're trying to get your Hebrew Israelite game up, you want to apply more of Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 1, which says, "Put on my beautiful garments." Check out Israelware. You can look at them on Facebook, or go again the website www.isbhpk.com, and you can start your subscription with Israelware, to where every month you can get men, women, or children get a corner of whatever subscription you get, from T-shirts to scarves, the T-shirt of the month, the scarf of the month, or if you want a custom-made garment or something to your liking, your style, or they can create something for you, get in touch with Israelware. They can definitely accommodate you, all right? And proceeds from Chose Creations, Sweet Ambiance, and Israelware help support our schools in Houston. Our school in Houston is located at 231 FM Road 1092, Stafford, Texas, 77477. And the priest of contact there is Priest Kwakuzab, all right? And you can reach Priest Kwakuzab at area code 303-557-8979. And you can watch their classes live if you're not in the Houston area. You want to see what's going on there. You can check their classes out live at ISBHBK Houston on YouTube as well, every Monday and Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and then coming back again on Fridays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then also on Saturdays starting at 10 a.m., you can check them out at ISBHBK Houston, all right, on YouTube. For our school in Norfolk, is located at 2610 Granby Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23517, meaning address there. And the brother or the priest to contact there is Priest Kazakia. And you can contact him at area code 757-300-4047. And if you'd like to check out their classes and see what they have going on, see what kind of work is happening there in Norfolk, go to Facebook Live. You go to Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge every Tuesday and Thursday on Facebook Live from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, again, on Facebook. You can catch this Friday night Sabbath class as well from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at ISBHBK Norfolk on YouTube. And then come back again on Saturdays and check out the Sabbath ceremony starting at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, ISBHBK Norfolk. And then we have our school in Rochester. Our school in Rochester is located at 1600 Lyle Avenue, suite number 1A, Rochester, New York, 14606. And the priest of contact there is Priest Zion, doing a great job up there. Great job. And you can reach him at area code 757-762-3917. And you can watch them live on YouTube as well every Tuesday and Thursday, starting from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at ISBHPK Rochester, at ISBHPK Rochester on YouTube. And that's from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Tuesday and Thursday, and then again on Saturdays, Sabbath class starting at 10 a.m. If you're in the Albuquerque area, we ask you please get in touch with the brother. I ask your wife this off at Erica 505-218-4218. We get together for any high holidays or any counseling or questions you might have. Please don't hesitate to reach out to Brother Aisha White Dazar. Again, Erica 505-218-4218. Then here in San Antonio as well, to help support the EO Pure Therapy Event Center. The Event Center is located on the far south end of the mall, which would be the Sears, the former Sears wing of the mall, on the second floor right in front of the remote control race car tracks. They're at the mall and EO Pure Therapy Event Center. We do have a Hebrew class. We have a Hebrew class that we teach every Sunday. Hebrew class we teach every Sunday, starting from at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time to 6. If you want to learn the Paleo Hebrew, please come and join us. Again, at Valengo Mall, at the EO Pure Therapy Event Center, located on the second floor of the mall in the far south end of the mall, right in front of the former Sears, in front of the remote control race car track. They're at the mall. And we have class there every Sunday starting at 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. for the Paleo Hebrew class. EO Pure Therapy Event Center is supported by the EO Pure Therapy Store. EO Pure Therapy Store is located on the first floor of Valengo's Mall in the JCPenney wing of the mall, directly diagonal from the H&M clothing store. EO Pure Therapy provides, their specialty is bath bombs, bath salts, and skin care. And they also have CBD-infused creams, gummies, tinctures, and roll-ons. And they can also provide you with, they have salt scrubs, they have sugar scrubs, just skincare needs. If you need it, they got it. And they're handmade. Everything is handmade, custom-made, from soaps to lotions. You can get a custom-designed soap of a fragrance of your choosing. They can hook it up for you. They do a great job there at the store. So we ask you, please check out EO Pure Therapy with Sister Kwadisaya. For now, the brother Gabar Kawa, go and check them out. They can definitely take care of you. Right? They can definitely take care of you. They can provide you with some of the custom fragrances or design one specifically for you and yours. All right? So please check out EO Pure Therapy. All right? And then if you'd like to help support the Bible Talk podcast, we ask that you send any donations to help support the ISBHBK Bible Talk podcast. We are accepting donations at on Cash App under Mashaba, that's M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, or Google Wallet at Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, 575@gmail.com. If you'd like to help support the ISBHBK Bible Talk podcast and our we're in the transition right now between either Google Meet, Zoom, or even those two platforms right now, and broadcasting our Hebrew class, and with hopes of moving it to YouTube so people can share with us on YouTube as well. So if you'd like to help out the podcast, please send donations to Cash App at Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, or Google Wallet at Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, 575@gmail.com. All right, brothers and sisters, at this time, I've been collecting names for a prayer request that we ask that for the following names that you, the listeners, you might add these names to your prayers as well. People that pray for everybody, everywhere, and showing that charity and esteeming others better than yourself. But we want to add these names. And if you would like a name added to the prayer request and to the prayer list, please text me at area code 210-784-8463. Please text me at area code 210-784-8463. Text me the name and just put PR behind the name. For example, if you're going to put like, let me see. I'm trying to think it's really good. Say it's Ice Cube. It's just for giggles. If you want to have a prayer request for the brother Ice Cube, then just put Ice Cube and then put PR. Ice Cube dash comma. They put PR. That way I know it's for prayer requests. that we can ask all Israelites, you know, all believers, all listeners that are tuning into the show, that they might add these names to their prayers, because it says the prayer of the righteous availeth much. So at this time, brothers and sisters, we're going to offer this prayer up for those who need a little extra help, a little extra protection, a little extra healing. And we ask that you add these names to your prayer request as well. So the Most High, in the name of Christ, let me take my head covering off. The Most High, in the name of Christ, please listen to us now, right now. Please send Michael and the holy angels to watch over, to bless, to heal, to protect, to strengthen, to help, to guide, and to please take away all evil people, all evil spirits, all sicknesses, all guile, and all malice from the following names, Father. From the brother Thawam and his wife, Waradiah. From the brother John Spann. From sister Miss Catherine, otherwise known as Ma Dukes. From sister Becky and brother Darrow. To the entire Lovett family, as well as the entire Coates family, Father. For the brother Kazakia and his family, including his wife, Shawashina. To the sister Anagashia. To the brother Thawam Mayam there in Houston. To the brother Thawam of West Beverly here in San Antonio. To the sister Ayana Banath Mayamian, the wife of Awarna Iyer. To special needs children, Father. To Cece, to Aisha Lee, to Aliyah. To the brother Tazapar, Father. To the brother Kodash Gabar, to the brother Yanawathan, to the brother Gabar Gad in Florida, to Sham Kodash, also in Florida, to the sister Ruthie Mae Johnson, and Father, we ask you also as we raise up the sister Quarta Shia, the wife of Bonabad, to you, Father. And we ask all these names in the name of our Lord and Savior, your Son, our King, who the world calls Jesus Christ, but who we say in the Paleo Hebrew, Yahweh Shai. So Tawada from Yah, thank you always. Lashem Yahweh Shai. In the name of Christ. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters. So cool. Again, welcome to the show. It is Monday. I hope everybody had a great weekend. I hope it was informative. I hope it was fruitful, productive. I hope it was everything that you could want it to be. And that the Most High was with you. As our brother Tazapa likes to say in all his classes, from Psalm chapter 118, verse 26, that the Most High brings you to it, he'll bring you through it, that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. All right. It's been a lot going on. It's definitely been a lot going on. I can't wait to hear Tazapa Tuesdays, this Tuesday, to see what current events he's going to bring up. I know it's going to be exciting. It's been a lot. At the Hebrew class this past Sunday, just yesterday, the brother LV was hitting me up with a lot of things going on that I wasn't even aware of, and I'm not even going to try and touch that with a 10-foot pole right now. But I know there's a lot of things going on. We're definitely living in the last days as we patiently and we pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That we are waiting, patiently awaiting, enduring, as we're in these last days, the arrival of the King, the arrival of our Lord and Savior, whom the world does call Jesus Christ. As we are patiently waiting for him, there's going to be judgment. It's coming, but we know with that judgment is the salvation and the healing of the earth, the healing of all nations, and the restoration of righteousness in the earth once again. So as we're going through these trials, tribulations, brothers and sisters, that's got us in the series that I'm doing right now to deny Christ, all right, to deny Christ. And brothers and sisters, one thing even Brother LV had mentioned this Sunday when we were talking about rapping, by no means I guess a disclaimer put out there, whatever. By no means is ISBHPK the only school, the home of the truth, the only place where you can learn about the Most High, the only place you can learn about salvation. By no means do we ever want to put that out there, brothers and sisters, that the nation of Israel is exactly that. It's a nation of people. And according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22, we're not a religion. All right? We are the Hebrew Israelites, the seed of Abraham, of the seed of Abraham, that we are an actual people, that we have an actual heritage, that the 12 tribes of Israel, that we really are a nation of people. And within a nation, you have so many different parts of a nation, and all parts of a nation are needed. All parts of the nation are needed. So that being said, as we look on, as you're seeing a lot more of the teaching taking place across America, on street corners everywhere, as you look on YouTube and you're seeing more and more YouTubers that are Hebrew Israelites, as you're looking on different just platforms, period, from Blog Talk to Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio podcast, or wherever, that this knowledge is really getting out and awakening the 12 of us tribes of the nation of Israel to repent and come together. With that, again, with that being said, brothers and sisters, by no means is ISBHPK Bible Talk the only place you should be getting your information from. We encourage you to get information from all and as many sources as possible, because we're all part of the body of Christ, all right? And in raising up a nation, it takes how the saying go? It takes a village to raise a child. That there's parts of the body of Christ that are in all Hebrew Israelite camps. Some a little more rough around the edges, if I can say it like that. Some might be a little more refined. Some might only believe in the Old Testament. Everybody's got their quirks. I'm going to say it like that. Maybe that's the best thing I should say. Everybody has their quirks, but there's something to learn. Titus 1, verse 15 says, to the pure, all things are pure. That if you receive it in a pure mindset, there's something to learn and achieve and gain from all Israelites, you know, all Israelite teaching that's taking place. So by no means do I want to disassociate myself from other Israelites. How can you disassociate yourself from a nation? That's impossible. But I know from the conditioning that we have, that we've been under for the past 500 years, that we're still looked at like we're a religion. And we're still looked at to where, from all the stereotypes that have also been placed upon us for the past 500 years, we're a bunch of beasts, we're a bunch of savages, it's a bunch of black men, it's something to be feared, it's something to be afraid of, black, Mexicans, Native Americans, Hispanics, that nothing good can come of it. And that it would seem like we're violent because we're loud, because a lot of brothers are stern, because a lot of brothers are direct. But brothers, that's not the case. That's not the case. When you see how hard-headed, and you go through the scriptures, and yeah, as you start learning the biblical history about Hebrew Israelites, we are the most hard-headed people on the planet. The 12 tribes of Israel are the most stubborn, stiff-necked, hard-headed people on the planet Earth. There is nobody more stubborn and more stiff-necked and self-righteous as Hebrew Israelites. When I say Hebrew Israelites, I'm referring to so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Timor Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, so-called Mexicans here in North America. There is nobody more hard-headed than us. There's nobody more stubborn than us. There just isn't. Matter of fact, I am going to pull that scripture. I wasn't thinking about this earlier this morning, but I'm thinking about it now, so I want to go ahead and go here. When we go to Ezekiel chapter 3, as we do try to make sure we keep everything Bible-based, when we go to Ezekiel chapter 3, these were the instructions that the Lord had given to the prophet Ezekiel during his time. All right. I'm curious about that. Let me see here. I'm just curious. It just hit me up. It says Ezekiel was a priest. Ezekiel was a priest. I believe he's doing the Babylon captivity. I just want to look it up real quick. Ezekiel, from Smith Bible Dictionary, Yahshazak Allah will be the Hebrew name of the strength of God. One of the four great greater prophets was the son of a priest named Buzi, Buzai, and was taken captive in the captivity of Jehoiakim 11 years before the destruction of Jerusalem. He was talk about the Babylonian captivity. He was a member of a community of Jewish exiles who settled on the banks of the Shebar, a river or stream of Babylon. He began prophesying approximately 595 B.C. And continued until 573 B.C., a period of more than 22 years. Wow. I didn't have those details, brother and sister. I didn't have those details about Ezekiel. This kind of came to mind. I just read that from an excerpt from the Smith Bible Dictionary. Right, from the Smith Bible Dictionary, that Ezekiel was a prophet during the time of the Babylonian captivity, when after – I'm going to let Brother Tulsa Power break it down to y'all and check out his classes. He's been covering this topic about the split of the kingdom and everything, and the series that he's been covering, Never Wax Fell. Go and check it out. Just a chance for me to give him a plug and a shout-out. Go check it out. He detailed this and walked the steps so clearly that how they say, even a caveman can get it. But Ezekiel was doing the Babylon captivity, and he started prophesying around 595 B.C. I just want to get that approximately 595 years before Christ came is when Ezekiel was on the scene doing his job as a prophet for the Most High. So when we go to Ezekiel chapter 3, and we start at verse 1, but Ezekiel chapter 3 and start at verse 1, this was the instructions that the Lord God had given to Ezekiel during the time of his prophesying, the time of his ministry. And it says, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and speak unto the house of Israel." So Ezekiel was actually given a roll to eat, like a scroll, not like a biscuit or whatever, but like it was a scroll. And what the scroll represented was God's words, all right? It was God's words. So it was symbolic of eating and consuming God's word. Get God's word in you and go and speak to the house of Israel. All right? Well, verse 2. "So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll." And verse 3. "And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." Now, brothers and sisters, y'all might remember that this was similar to what John the Revelator had told us in Revelation chapter 6 or 8 about him eating a roll and that it was in his mouth sweet as honey, but it made his belly bitter. And again, that roll here as well as in Revelations represents the word of God to consume it, get it in you. You know, similar to how they say, food for thought. Food for thought. Eat the words of God. Consume the words of God. Get it in you. Don't let it just be surface. Eat it. Digest it. Get it in you. All right? So he could say he actually ate it was actual roll that he actually did eat, and that in his mouth it was sweet as honey. Verse 4. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 4 now. "And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them." So that's, again, what that role represented. It was actual role, but it was God actually, at that time, God actually just giving Ezekiel his words. All right? For us, it's symbolic of now we have to study this Bible and consume it. Like Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, as a newborn babe desires the sincere milk of the Word of God. And if you look at newborn babes, you know they want nothing else but their breast milk. If they start with breast milk, they want nothing else but breast milk. And they want that breast milk every 2 to 3 hours. They're consuming. They're digesting. They're absorbing that milk. But that's how we should be with the Bible. That's how we should be with God's Word, that we're consuming His Word. We're getting His words in us. So, again, if we're looking at what's going on with Ezekiel, the Most High is telling Ezekiel, eat this Word. Now, after you get this Word in you, God's Word in you, speak to my people Israel. Go speak to the house of Israel. Give them my words, not your words, not your dream, not your imagination, because you might have had heartburn last night. I don't want to hear none of that. Give them my word. Give the Israelites God's word. Not some tarot cards, not some zodiac signs, not some superstitions. Give them God's word. Reading on now, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel." With Ezekiel being an Israelite, of the tribe of Levi, since he was a priest, with him being an Israelite, being from the tribe of Levi, he's saying, go speak to them and give them my words. Speak to them in a way they will understand, that they will get it. Give them God, my word, meaning God's word. Because you're not sent to a people of a strange speech. I'm not sending you to the other nations. At this time, right before the Babylon captivity, I'm sending you to the house of Israel. To the Israel, I'm sending you to your people. I ain't sending you to the whole wide world where it's going to be necessary to have to speak in tongues. No, speak to Israel, and you know how to speak to your people. We know how to speak with our people. So the message gets across to our people what God's word is. Again, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 5. "For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel." So much like we were speaking Latin, Spanish, French, Portuguese, hell, even this damn English, go speak to your people, your peeps, your kin, your folk, your primos, your mijas, your carnales. Go speak to them. All right, verse 6, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 6. "Not too many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Listen to this, y'all. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee." If I would send you to the other nations, they would listen. How do you know that? Without going there, what happened with the prophet Jonah? What happened with the prophet Jonah going to the prophesying against the city of Nineveh, which was doing Assyrian captivity, that he didn't want to go? That, remember, that's where we get Jonah and being swallowed by the giant fish. That the Most High told Jonah, go prophesy to Nineveh, I'm going to destroy it. And Jonah's like, no, I'm not going to do that, because those people are going to repent, and you got me out there looking like a fool. And remember, Jonah jumped in a ship. And when you look at where Israel is compared to where also Nineveh was in the Assyrian captivity, the land of Assyria, which is north of Israel, for him to get in the ship and go all the way to Tarshish. Remember, brothers and sisters, if you don't know biblical geography, Tarshish is Spain. So he was in a ship close to, and sailed from the coast of Tyre, Zion, of Palestine, and was headed towards Spain. So let me know, I'm not doing that. I'm getting as far away from here as possible. And that's when the Most High had that storm come up. And they threw Jonah's ass over the side of the boat to calm the storm. And that's when that fish swallowed him, took him to the bottom of the ocean, sat there for 3 days until he submitted to what the Most High wanted, went back got his ass back to Assyria, to Nineveh, and went and prophesied, and they repented. And they did repent, even though Most High was going to do. So, no, this is not strange. All right, this is not strange. Again, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 6. not too many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. Verse 7, the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Brothers and sisters, when we go over this right here, as we read this, remember, the only people that have heard God's voice was the 12 tribes of Israel coming out of Egypt. When we got to Mount Sinai, that is when the Lord God, that all the Israelites at that time heard the voice of God. We heard the Ten Commandments. And we've gone over that. Go back and, to our library at either www.blogtalkradio.com, Meshaba, and we covered the promised land, the benefits of the land of milk and honey. We covered this and have dived deep into what that day was like when the house of Israel, when the 12 tribes of Israel and all those who came out of Egypt, when we heard the voice of God. That the thunder, the blackness of the clouds, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing again. It was so terrifying. It tells you that from Mount Sinai that we sprinted all the way back to the camp of Israel, to the rear of the camp of Israel. According to geography and historians, that was approximately a 17-mile distance from the base of Mount Sinai to the rear of the camp that we had set up was 17 miles. It tells you that we all sprinted 17 miles to get away from the voice of God. And we begged Moses to never let God have to speak to us again, that we believed that God was with him and we would listen to him. Utterly terrifying. It tells you that the air shook. What's going on with that? The air shakes. As well as the ground, it said the thunders and lightnings. If y'all saw what was that, Endgame, Avengers Endgame? I hate to go to a cartoon reference. Remember in Endgame, that lightning bolt that Thor came down with. First, he went even before Endgame. It was the other movie where he had to strike down his sister Hela. He said with the biggest lightning bolt ever in recorded history, he hit Hela with. She just shook it off. And he came back and struck down with the same thing. Now imagine hundreds of those going off all at once, striking the ground, representing the voice of God. Just hearing his voice. And I'm bringing this out like this, brothers and sisters, because we heard the voice of God and as Moses was up on the mount 40 days and 40 nights, we already want to go back to Egypt? From being at a point where we were that fearful and that scared and that terrified and that amazed and shocked and in awe, where we begged on top of, remember, we just came out of Egypt with all the plagues that the Most High struck Egypt with. The Israelites came to the Red Sea, walked through on dry ground. We saw our enemies, the remaining Egyptian army, swallowed up in the Red Sea. We've seen these things. Get to Mount Sinai. God speaks to us. We hear his voice. It was no mistaking his voice, the Ten Commandments, his voice speaking the Ten Commandments. We heard this, and within that 40-day period, we're already rebelling and wanting to go back to Egypt, go back to what we're used to, go back to our routines that we had in Egypt, that they have to walk in the wilderness by faith. We can't see how we're going to eat. We can't see, just have to adjust and submit, that just follow God. We were already rebellious. That quick. You go back and read the history, brothers and sisters, and do the research like we've done here on ISBHBK Bible Talk and our YouTube classes. We were only 3 days outside of the Red Sea, and we was already ready to kill Moses again. 3 days. And we was ready to kill. The 12 tribes were ready to kill Moses because we didn't have no water. 3 days after walking out between, walking on dry ground through the Red Sea, just 3 days later, we were ready to kill Moses because we didn't have any water. 3 days. So when we come back now and read Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 7, it hurts. It hurts. This ain't no religion. This hurts. Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 7 says, "But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me." But since when I first read this scripture, as I came to the knowledge of understanding I am a Hebrew Israelite, and it's my job to try and spread God's word and spread this message. To me, I don't, we do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and with God, there's nothing impossible. But I'm like, come on, for real? He's telling Ezekiel to go speak to the house of Israel, saying, but they're not going to listen to you because they don't listen to me. And I'm like, hold up, you are the Most High God. You are the Most High God. You've got power. You're the king. There's one scripture that says he's the king of terror. Let me find that real quick. As I see my time is slipping on me. The king of terror. Let me find this scripture real quick. In Job chapter 18, verse 14, in the book of Job chapter 18, verse 14, it says, "His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the king of terrors." That's talking about the Most High, y'all, the king of terrors. So, knowing that God has got all, I mean, come on, from the plagues of Egypt, to all the things that God, I mean, he's the Most High. So he's a consuming fire. So it's fearful falls to the hands of God. That with all that God has available at his fingertips, things visible and invisible, all the holy angels on the right-hand side, left-hand side, everything that God has at his disposal, just his voice even, that if we don't respect God and his power, how are the God's prophets or teachers supposed to go to this people as if they're going to listen to the servants when they won't listen to the master? Again, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 7. "But the house of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, similar Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, so-called Mexicans here in North America, because we know that the 12 tribes were scattered to all four corners of the earth. But for those here in North America, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all, A-L-L, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted." And when we look up the word impudent, we have shameless, wanting modesty, bold, with contempt of others, saucy. Them some hell of words. Got no shame. Don't care how we look. Don't care what we're doing. Once we get in our feelings, that's it. Wanting modesty. Have no discretion. Don't give two damns about who's looking or what's going on. That we're going to follow what we want to do. We're going to do what we're going to do. And don't care how it looks or what's going on. That is our people. It says bold with contempt of others. Come on. Just go to a sporting event where any of our people are at. And when I say sporting event, I'm talking even from Little League. Let it be a Little League baseball game. Look how we talk junk, talk smack. Let it be a beauty pageant for children, for infants, for toddlers. Watch how we talk smack even at that age. Bold. With contempt of others, saucy. I would look it up, but I'm not going to. The word sauce. And let's see if they have, if hard-hearted. Yep, from the Webster's, 1820 Dictionary. The word hard-hearted. The definition they have for hard-hearted, or some of the synonyms they have for hard-hearted, is cruel, pitiless, merciless, unfeeling, inhuman. I can't read this word here. Inexorable. And I don't really know what the hell that means. But I do know what cruel means. Pitiless, merciless, unfeeling, and inhumane. So I know I started this whole tirade talking about we're a bunch of savages and thugs and what have you. And I guess we really are. But what I'm trying to say about the Hebrew Israelites is when you see us teaching and you see us coming across very heated, very passionate, we're speaking to a people who are hard-hearted, as God says, cruel, unfeeling, pitiless, impudent, saucy, bold, stubborn, who won't listen. Reading on with Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 8, behold, I've made thy face strong against their faces. As much as people want to be hard-headed about what they're going to do and their own self-righteousness or what have you, the Father saying, behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. We'll look at the word adamant. I'm just curious. Adamant. A very hard, impenetrable stone. A name given to the diamond and other substances of extreme hardness. The name has often been given to the lode alone. But in modern mineralogy, it has no technical signification. So the Lord is saying to the prophets, the teachers, from Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 9, as an adamant, and y'all, again, I hate the Marvel reference, but what are Wolverine's claws made out of? Adamantium. Not vibranium or whatever that other case it is. Adamant. As an adamant, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks. Though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. Like that roll that you ate earlier, receive it. Get into thy heart. Let digest it. Get this inside of you. Get God's word inside of you. Not gospel songs, not gospel hymns, not church stories, get God's word deep in you. Again, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 10, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. Verse 11, and go, get thee to them of the captivity. Of who? Them of the captivity. Unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. I'm going to jump down to verse 16. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, thou speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Cool. They being wicked. If you don't go tell them about their wickedness and the right way to do things, oh, they're going to die because they're wicked. Because hard-headed, stubborn, stiff-necked, rebellious, they're going to die because of that. But if you don't go tell them, then I'm going to blame their death on you. Because God is a long-suffering, merciful God. Give everybody a chance to get your act together. But if you don't tell people, are very hard-headed, stiff-necked, stubborn, rebellious, hard-hearted people, they always use the excuse, no one told me. Nobody told me. The Father's trying to cut out all excuses. Reading on, Zechariah, Ezekiel, chapter 3, verse 19. I'm sorry, Ezekiel, chapter 3, verse 19. Yet, if I warn the wicked, and he turned not from his wickedness. Okay, now a wicked person got it. They're being told about what they're doing is wrong. And they're being shown in the scriptures the word of God. But they refuse to turn from their wickedness, nor from his wicked way. He shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. So, brothers and sisters, as you see us teaching and you hear the passion that comes across, don't be misguided with that. Don't read it the wrong way. Understand what's going on. Understand what's happening. We're definitely in the last days. We are definitely in the last days. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is about to return. And with all the influences that are being unleashed, when we go to Revelation, let's go there now. When we go to Revelation chapter 18, Acts, Romans, Revelation, Ventilation. We'll go to Revelation chapter 18 and verse 1. Revelation chapter 18, the whole 18th chapter of Revelation is dealing with the fall of spiritual Babylon the Great, which is dealing with the great city Babylon the Great, which is dealing with spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, which is basically identifying America. We know that when John the Revelator got the book of Revelations and he wrote it down, obviously at that time, we're talking about what? Somewhere, it was before 70 AD, right? So sometime before 70 AD, after 33 AD, in between that 40-year period, that John the Revelator, and I haven't looked it up, I'm not going to right now, got Revelations, was given the prophecies of the book of Revelations, right, to write down for us to have, to record everything that was going on for us to have, that God's word, he prophesied what was going to happen, and it revealed to John the Revelator what was going to be going on, write it down so we can now see it. Hopefully that's understood. Obviously, at that time, during the Roman Empire, because that's what time it was, there was no America. Right, there was no land called America. So obviously, they didn't write the word America in the Bible. But God leaves a lot of clues that give a lot of direction that really point out, like all points bulletin of what he's talking about and who he's referring to. So the prophecies about the destruction of Babylon the Great. If we think about Babylon, we have to go think about ancient Babylon or the Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel is after the flood, you know, the earth started to repopulate, and all the nations at that time had came together and decided they're going to build a tower that was going to reach all the way up to heaven. And you can read this in Genesis chapter 10 and Genesis chapter 11. And they're going to build this tower all the way up to heaven, lest the Lord decided he was going to flood the earth with water again, and they didn't want to be scattered. And remember, at this particular time, when they started to build this tower, there was only one language on the earth. It was a language that came down from Adam. It was the pure language, the holy tongue, what we call the Lashon HaKodesh. there was only one language. So all nations at one time only spoke one language, all right? And in being united together, being as one, you had all these people, all these nations gathered together in the land of Shinar, and they built this tower. They built this city. They built this empire. And said whose tower was going to reach all the way up to heaven. God mad, changed his mind, or God was lying, and was going to flood the earth again with water. Well, he gave us the rainbow, not to signify Gay Pride Month or the LGBTQ community, but he gave us the rainbow as a promise that he would not destroy the whole entire earth with a flood ever again, with a flood, or with water ever again. So this tower began to be built. God and the angels come down, see what's going on. They see that man has lost their damn, we done lost our damn mind. And because we're united as one, and you have all these countries here, all these nations here, and they're building this thing to defy God, to go against God. That it was at that time that God divided the nations, and the different languages. Right? He divided the nations and the different languages. Therefore, that tower became known as the Tower of Babel. Because Babel, going back to the Hebrew word Babel, which means confusion, because all the languages of the earth, all the nations, their languages got confused, so they couldn't understand each other, so they couldn't be united as one in what they was trying to get done, defy God. Well, if we look at that, and we come back and look at what place in the earth has a place where you have all nations gathered together with all the different languages, with all their different customs, with all their different cultures, and you can find a little bit of everybody in one place, like in ancient Babylon. If that's not America, which is also known as the Great Melting Pot, which says on the Statute of Liberty, give me your poor, I forget what the rest of the life says, because they definitely ain't treated us with a damn, but America is known as the Great Melting Pot. And you can go to different cities, and you can find a little Italy. You can find a little Manila. You can find a Chinatown. You can find a Koreatown. You're going to find the ghetto. You're going to find Greek town, German town. You're going to find Asian markets, Thai town or what have you. Yeah, you have all people here. You have East Indians. You have from the islands, the 12 tribes. You've got the South Pacific Islanders, that you can find pockets of everybody here in America, in different cities in America, all practicing their culture, their religion, you know, the so-called freedom of religion here in America, which is a bunch of confusion. So dealing with Revelation chapter 18, the whole chapter is dealing with the fall of Babylon the Great, which is the climax and the conclusion of Armageddon, thank God. But let's read this and see what it says. That the reason that God said we have to become so stern at our people, is because not only are we hard-headed and stiff-necked and stubborn and impatient, but with all the influences being unleashed in this particular place, people really want to follow their own mind, their own imagination. They want to have this sense of they feel to be liberty. They ain't going to be controlled by nobody, and nobody can tell them what to do. And those influences are running rampant and getting worse and worse and worse, starting in this place here called America. So in Revelation 18, verse 1, it says, "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." So it's telling you that there's a place in the world that is become the habitation of devils. the word devil, if we can just go by the dictionary definition of the word devil just means deceiver, deception, lies. What place is that? If America is not the home of more lies and hypocrisy than any other place on the planet Earth, please let it be known. The habitation of devils, of deceivers. This was the Declaration of Freedom of Religion. With the Declaration of Freedom of Religion, but yet you put on your money in God we trust. Which one is it? Which one is it? In America, you can literally be whatever the hell you want to be and be protected, the LGBTQ community. And I know they added more letters to it, the pedophiles, whatever, even they won't be called pedophiles, because that's age. Like you have racism, and now they have ageism. Please, it's getting, the scripture's coming true. The habitation of devils and the hold, meaning, like a prison, like a hold, and the hold of every foul spirit, every perversion, every fetish, every whatever your mind can take you to. You can find a club, a clique, a group here in America that shares your same interests. Unlike anywhere else on the planet Earth. Not saying that there's not foul spirits and evil and negative all over the Earth, but not like here in America, where the morals and the ethics of this place are the worst on the planet. The thing about liberty, being liberal, it starts here in America and spreads to the rest of the world like cancer. It says, again, Revelation 18, verse 2, and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, everything God cannot stand is promoted here in America. This place that in the scriptures here is called Babylon the Great, meaning, again, if we look at the word Babylon, going back to the Hebrew word babal, which means confusion, so it says, saying the place of great confusion, where anything is allowed. Any and literally everything is allowed here in America. Protected and promoted here in America. Then it says, here's another clue, verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Where has Americanism, American influence, not reached around the whole earth? Where is America's mindset and mental sicknesses and perversions not reached every corner of the planet earth? From Coca-Cola to the fast food industries, to whenever America, westernization, comes into any country, their culture is destroyed, and drugs, prostitution, and poverty increase. Ancient cultures get wiped out to try to be an American. Name one place that has more influence on the planet Earth, unlike America. Even with the greenbacks, where all oil on the planet Earth is having to be sold with U.S. currency, are we really going to act like America doesn't have their fingers in every damn thing on the planet Earth? Everything. And it has not influenced the whole Earth? From the Industrial Revolution, that's polluted the air, the water, making animals extinct in the seas, in the rivers, all over the planet Earth, following the lead of American technology. again. So again, it's telling us that this place, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. What government is not being, is not influenced by America? And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Name an import export that doesn't reach America for the rest of the world gets rich off of either importing or exporting stuff to America. This is what it says in Revelation 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she has glorified herself and live deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she says in her heart, I see the queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plague come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. And that fire, brothers and sisters, not only is it going to be a nuclear attack on Babylon the Great from all nations with nuclear capabilities, but have y'all ever researched how many supervolcanoes are in America? Whew! I've done it before. I'm going to look at it real quick. My time is flying. How many super volcanoes are in the U.S.? It says three. Three of the seven supervolcanoes in the world are in the U.S. California, Long Valley Caldera, New Mexico, the Valley of Caldera, and Wyoming, Yellowstone Park. Supervolcanoes, California, New Mexico, and Wyoming. The Long Valley caldera in New Mexico, the Valles caldera, and Wyoming, Yellowstone. Listen, if y'all get a chance to go on YouTube, go to YouTube and put in the search box, what would happen if super volcanoes ignited in America? I'm telling y'all right now. And that fire from the volcanoes, the earthquakes that come from that. I don't know how many of y'all are alive. I know I was speaking to a much older generation. There was a volcano up in Oregon. Was it Oregon? Where is Mount St. Helens? Mount St. Helens is located in Washington State. And I'm just looking at this as I just did the Google search. Mount St. Helens, located in Washington State, is the most active volcano in the Cascade Range, and it is the most likely of the contiguous U.S. volcanoes to erupt in the future. They have a picture of Mount St. Helens, before and after, that when it went off, I was in middle school. Right, it says here, why is Mount St. Helens so famous? Mount St. Helens sparked the advances in cutting-edge volcano science and monitoring that exists today. Mount St. Helens is turned out to be the ideal laboratory to study volcanic activity. The 1980 eruption was the first large explosive eruption studied by scientists and observers using modern technology, right? So it went off in 1980. Mount St. Helens erupted in 1980. I guess I got to do this here now also. When somebody's here. Oh, y'all are back already. All right. I know y'all are going to be back so soon. So I'm on Blog Talk. I didn't think y'all was going to be back till like 5. My family just came in from a little family excursion. That's been here in the background. So how far is Mount St. Helens from Albuquerque, Albuquerque, New Mexico? All right. Here, just on the first website that came up, the first thing that came up, it says Albuquerque Mount St. Helens National Volcanic Park. The distance is 1,123 miles. All right, 1,123.6 miles. Reason I'm bringing this up, brothers and sisters, Mount St. Helens is not even a supervolcano. All right, Mount St. Helens is not even a supervolcano. Remember, the supervolcanoes are California, New Mexico, and Wyoming. When Mount St. Helens went off in 1980, we got ash from Mount St. Helens that covered our cars and everything, and about an inch of ash all the way in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Ash from a volcano that erupted in Washington State, 1,123 miles away, ash landed in Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's just from a volcano. Not a supervolcano, a volcano. So the scripture is telling us that this Babylon the Great is going to be burned with fire. And I didn't want to go here, but we're here. And then when we come back and we read the book of Isaiah, chapter 66 and verse 15. In Matthew Revelation 18, it says this. I'm in the book of Isaiah, chapter 66 and verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. We just read where the Lord said he's coming to, he's going to bring strong in the Lord's hands, going to judge this place, and he's coming with fire. Well, we messed up with the scripture right here, to destroy Babylon the Great. It says, again, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. Verse 16. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Did we catch that? For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. So we know that the nations, and I'm going to go back over that class again, how Armageddon is going to actually take place, and what's how all the nations are going to be fighting against America, and there's going to be total world war will be totally in effect, as well as the martial law, as well as FEMA camps, all this type of stuff going on, and there's going to be war the nation going to be at war. And then they're going to turn and see Christ coming. And the scripture says they're going to leave the war they have one against another. They're trying to try and fight against Christ. But it also tells you that the nations are going to attack Babylon the Great. When we go back and read Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 51, chapters 50 and 51, I'm going to do that right now for the lack of time. Go back and read those two chapters. It tells you how the nations are going to attack Babylon the Great or America with that nuclear fire. You come back and read Joel, the third chapter. It tells you that anybody with an arrow, they're going to shoot their arrows or their missiles from the nations at America. So you're going to have the fire coming from the militaries of the world aiming at America. And then at the same time, you're going to have the super volcanoes, the fire of the Lord. That's going to be going off also. And it tells you in Isaiah 34, I'm not going to go there either, but it says in Isaiah 34 that the smoke from this place will be rising forever as a sign. That once the Lord destroys this place, that and it's going to be felt around the whole earth to where it's going to shake the fish of the Red Sea. That's what it says. What kind of earthquake? What is going to shake the earth so hard that it's going to shake the oceans? It's going to be the destruction of Babylon the Great. Because it says, with violence and fury poured out, the Lord is going to destroy this place. And as Peter told us, the day of the Lord is going to be fire. Well, there's not going to be anything left. Let me go there. Let me get that. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So when we look at this and we consider this, verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What fire is there that will melt elements? That the earth is going to be, and all the works that are therein shall be burnt up. We've always talked about thermonuclear destruction. So we do have that man-made fire coming of thermonuclear destruction that's going to be unleashed, that's going to cause America to be called the lake of fire. But to have these not only just the super volcanoes, but volcanoes, period, also erupting at the same time. And what is lava? If it's not already melted elements. Lava is melted elements. And what can stop lava? Nothing. When these super volcanoes erupt, and then you also, again, have the nations firing. I guess I got to get that scripture down real quick now that we're here. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 50. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 50. And just trying to get straight to the point. I'm going to start at verse 8, Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 8. It says, remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the goats before the flocks. So here, similar to Revelation chapter 18, verse 4, where it says, get out of Babylon, remove out of the midst of Babylon, that we receive not of her plagues, that we be not partakers of her sins, that we receive not of her plagues. So similar to what we just read in Revelation chapter 18, verse 4, this is Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 8. It says, remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the ghost before the flocks. Verse 9. For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence shall she be taken. Their arrows shall be as of a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. If you think about a mighty archer who's pulled back one of a strong bow, not a combo, but a strong bow, and releasing that arrow, they ain't going to turn the arrow back. So think about the nations, and we put this in modern-day terms, the nations that have arrows. What's the modern-day arrow? It's missiles. It's missiles that are going to be shot out. And again, when you go, when we match it with Joel, I don't want to go there, but when we match it with Joel, it's telling you that they're going to come forth out of the body, like out of the ground. They're going to open up. And when they fly, there's nothing that can stop them. These missiles the metaphor given is that there's going to be arrows that are shot from the nations to consume this one place on earth in particular called Babylon the Great. So, brothers and sisters, I guess I'm just trying to get this picture together that it's going to be a mighty destruction. When we get to Amos, let me get this scripture real quick. We're going to Amos chapter 5. We'll look at the book of Amos chapter 5. It says, I'm in Amos chapter 5, and I'm starting at verse 18. The book of Amos chapter 5, verse 18. It says, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Are we hearing this? Because a lot of people get this thing in their minds that it's going to be like just sunshine, rainbows, unicorns, deers, red robins, blue sparrows, blue jays, butterflies and caterpillars all crawled up together in the heart symbol. There's going to be goats and lambs and kittens and goldfish are going to be flipping up in the air, turning flips as they look and see Jesus just so effortlessly just gliding down like a cloud, like a feather, as he floats down to the earth. But nothing but hope and peacefulness in his still cold blue eyes, and it's just gonna be just magnificent. That's not what the scripture says. Amos chapter 5, verse 18. I'm in the book of Amos, chapter 5, verse 18. And again, and it says, woe unto you. We always say it, but I never actually just looked it up. It's woesome. But no, I don't want woesome. You need a dictionary. Let me search. I want woe. W-O-E. Search. Well, y'all will never give me the word woe. Okay. I have woe. The Webster's 1820 gives me woesome. Let me look it up on the net then. D-E-F-I. Define, E-E-F-I, define woe, 1828. All right, got it. From Webster's 1828 dictionary, the word woe means grief, sorrow, misery, a heavy calamity. All right, the word woe means grief, sorrow, misery, a heavy calamity. So as we come back to our scripture, Amos chapter 5, verse 18. The book of Amos chapter 5, verse 18. Grief, sorrow, calamity unto you that desire the day of the Lord. I'm here, y'all. I'm here. As I look at some of these different versions of Amos chapter 5, verse 18, Woe to those desiring the day of the Lord. What is this for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. In the Bible, in basic English, it says, sorrow to you who are looking for the day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord for you? It is dark and not light. The Bereans Study Bible says, woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. What will the day of the Lord be for you? It will be darkness and not light. The Common English Version says, you look forward to the day when the Lord comes to judge, but you are in for trouble. Wow. It won't be a time of sunshine. It will be darkness. This is the Common English Version Bible. The Common English Version Bible says, you look forward to the day of the Lord. You look forward to the day when the Lord comes to judge, but you are in trouble. For it won't be a time of sunshine. All will be darkness. The Good News Bible, for Amos chapter 5 verse 18 says, how terrible it will be for you who long for the day of the Lord. What good will that day do you? For you it will be a day of darkness and not light. In the International Standard Version, the International Standard Version, it says this. Woe to those who are craving the day of the Lord. How is it your... Wow. I'm sorry, y'all. The International Standard Version for Amos chapter 5, verse 18. Woe to those who are craving the day of the Lord. How is it to your benefit? This day of the Lord is a day of darkness to you and not light. Whoa. In the Young's Literal Translation, says, ho, ye who are desiring the day of Jehovah. Why is this to you, the day of Jehovah? It is darkness and not light. So just, you know, taking a look at this, brothers and sisters. Woe to you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Take out the analogy that the Most High has given here. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. So imagine you already run, that you are often in the jungle or forest or wherever. You're fleeing from a lion. You know, right up on the lion, and now the lion's chasing you. So as you're fleeing from a lion, you run into a bear. So now you're fleeing from a lion and a bear, or went into a house, and say you escaped, you was able to get away from the lion and the bear, and you made it into the house, and you close the door, and you feel you got safety, security, shelter. You close the door. It says, I went into the house and laid his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. So you run up a lion, you run into a bear. Somehow you get away from the lion and the bear. You think you're safe. You get inside the house, close the door, you leave your hand on the wall, and you get bit by a serpent. Are you having a good day? No, not at all. Now, yes, the lion, the bear, and the serpent are all symbolic also. The lion is referring to, you probably don't. The lion is referring to the Arabians, all right? The lion is referring to the Arabians. The bear is referring to Magog or Russia, that the Arabians and the Russians are going to be attacking America. It says, and went into the house and leaned a hand on the wall, and the serpent bit him. The serpent represents the Chinese. who are very much already here deep in America according to debt. Their militaries are already here. They're already here. So I'm telling you, Armageddon is going to be the main characters in Armageddon, America, Russia, Arabians, and China. We can see on this chessboard, we can see the pieces being put in place for this checkmate. Verse 20. So not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it. This is going to be one hell of a day. Now, we know that this was also how the Lord was prophesying against Jerusalem. While we was in Jerusalem just tripping our asses off when we were in the promised land, and it was our final warnings of our Most High telling us what he's going to do to us in Jerusalem, which did happen. But in prophecy, because we know the Most High requires that which is past. In prophecy, but what we have to look forward to is what's going to happen to Babylon the Great. What is going to happen to Babylon the Great? So, brothers and sisters, again, as we go over the classes and you see the teaching, whatever, understand what the purpose is and what's going on. And yeah, as we're in these last days, we can't forget that it does tell us this also. We're going to go to the book of Galatians. Chapter, what verse is that? Even 1 second, I can't, as my memory is slipping some. We want all the words, E-M-E-M-Y-T-R-U-T-H. 416. The book of Galatians, brothers and sisters, the book of Galatians, chapter 4 and verse 16. I'll read this in the King James Version first. All right? Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. And it says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Yeah, remember, part of the series that we're going over, I'm going to have to rename today's class, is as we get closer and closer to the day of the Lord getting here, as we get closer and closer to Christ actually making his return, there's going to be a lot more people getting more and more offended because of the truth. There's going to be a lot more people that their dreams, their bucket list, their what have you, are not going to come to fruition. And to now have to choose living in this land, if we look at everything, brothers and sisters, that some things that we just went over, as living in this land that has become the hold of every foul spirit, the cage of every hateful bird, the place where everything God really cannot stand is allowed to take place, the place where you can be influenced by anything and lead to a person being drunk in the mind, not drunk off of liquor or alcohol, but drunk in the mind off of just influence, just I'm influenced by this. I'm influenced by that. I don't want to follow God's rules. I don't want to do it God's way. I want to feel like I'm free to do what I want to do, how I want to do it. And I'm going to do it my way. The sky's the limit. I ain't going to let nobody hold me down. I'm going to follow my dreams. I'm going to follow my heart. I'm going to follow my mind. I'm going to do as I will. I'm going to have it my way. I'm going to go for it. All the mental, psychological conditioning that is really taking place here in America, that's in the world. I ain't going to say this America, but it is predominant here in America, that mindset, that where we could be influenced. Come on, if we look on cartoons now and we're seeing I guess it finally came out, that on Sesame Street, which was supposed to be put together for kids, for children, the Children's Television Network, I guess they finally came out and admitted, not just through speculation and conspiracy theories, that yes, Bert and Ernie are actually two gay lovers. That Big Bird was actually transvestite. that with the big feathers and their flamboyant appearance of Big Bird, is representing a transvestite. That's going all the way back to my childhood and many other people's childhood, but that those seeds were being planted even at that age, even at that time. And me personally, I liked Sesame Street. I really did. I was in favor of Sesame Street. I really didn't like the Electric Company. I don't even know if people know about that today. I really went into the Electric Company. I did like Electric Man or Letterman and Spider-Man from the Electric Company, but I really wasn't feeling Mr. Rogers. That wasn't my thing. But that know that a lot of these things were being implemented subliminally in our consciousness, in our minds. And we can look and see the fruit of those seeds today, where many people do have this notion, I was born gay. I was born like this. I've just always known that I'm this, I'm that. This thing, my wife was telling me the other day about one of the children in her, that she deals with, talk about they're non-binary. I don't have no clue. I don't even really care what it means. But non-binary? One thing I will give Mr. Rogers, he did have a song he used to sing that says, if you're born a girl, you're always going to be a girl. If you're born a boy, you're always going to be a boy. That only girls can be mommies and only boys can be daddies. He had that song. He did have that song. When you got to the point, brothers and sisters, where they want to sue the Aretha Franklin estate for the song, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, because it offends the LGBTQ community, because they're not naturally born women, what kind of influence, are we facing? What kind of influence, not only we, because we can take it real selfish and just think about ourselves, but think about our children. Think about our children or the children that are coming up. Look at what they're going to be facing. Look at what they're going to be influenced with. Where you can look on damn near every TV show now. I remember coming up that it was to see Queer Eye for the Gay Guy was like that was stretching things. That was stretching it, like for real. Now, come on, I remember when Pam Grier did the L word, referring to lesbian. We can look everywhere, from the gay influence from SpongeBob to Green Lantern. In the comics, Green Lantern was the first superhero to come out as full-on gay, Hal Jordan, or one of them, straight gay, homosexual. Then we can look at the last Doctor Strange movie, the protagonist, along with Doctor Strange, was America, who had two moms. This is in the comic, the blockbuster movies going around the world. These influences. Then let's not forget about Disney influences. Good Lord. All the Disney influences that are plaguing and affecting the morals of our children on the child's level. So now to come back and out, we showing them the Word of God, showing them the order of God, the struggles and the fight and the rebelliousness and the open ignoring. The open ignoring of God's law, God's way, it's going to get a lot worse, brothers and sisters. It's going to get a lot worse. I know Tulsa Powell has been doing, has done his series on Never Wax Pale, and it's gotten extensive. I'm about to go back and research exactly what titles he was doing. But when he was covering the Hellenization of the Jews, good Lord, that it was the Jews' philosophy for all nations to be the same, for all nations to let go of their laws, let go of their culture, and for everybody to be of one mind and really be one. And the extent they went to, where if anybody was found practicing, especially among Israelites, if anybody was found practicing the laws of God, observing the laws of God, they were literally being put to death in a forced like Inquisition, like a forced when white people first came to the Americas and forced Native Americans to accept their form of Christianity, to accept Catholicism or Christianity, that in not accepting it, there were many people put to death not accepting the white man's form of Christianity. Millions of people were put to death. Well, you go back and trace, the Greeks, the first white empire on the planet Earth, under Alexander the Great, they did the same thing. And for those who were not configured that real quick, as I said when my time is at, we go to First Maccabees. And this is one reason why they took the book of the Apocrypha out of the Bible, said we wouldn't have access to these things. And it's like you say also, if you want to hide anything from a nigga, put it in the book, especially for because we don't like to read. We hate reading. We really do. So when you come back and consider, I'm in First Maccabees. I'm going to start chapter 1 of verse 1. I'm going to read down. In First Maccabees chapter 1 of verse 1, it says, "And it happened after that Alexander, son of Philip the Macedonian, who came out of the land of Kittim, had smitten Darius, king of the Persians and Medes, that he reigned in his stead, the first over Greece." And again, we know this. We taught this in humanities. We taught this in civics and world history about Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great. Well, his father was Philip the Macedonian. And if y'all didn't catch Tazapaz Tuesday, previous Tuesday, where he did Never Wax Pale, the end of the independence of the Jews, ooh, brothers and sisters, to understand that the Macedonians go back, are linked to Hagag, which goes back to Amalek, that Alexander would be, he's of the same lineage as Jewish people. He's an Amalekite, whom in the scriptures God says he can't stand in forever. That they're the first of the nations. Good Lord. Go back and check that class out if y'all haven't. Excellent history class. Excellent history class. But moving on with my point, that Alexander, the son of Philip the Macedonian, Darius, king of the Persians and the Medes, and reigning in his stead the first over Greece. So now the super world empire now is under Alexander, which came into power around 333 BC. It only took him 12 years to conquer the whole known planet at the time, Earth at the time. Verse 2, "And made many wars and won many strongholds and slew the kings of the earth, and went through to the ends of the earth and took spoils of many nations, insomuch that the earth was quiet before him, whereupon he was exalted and his heart was lifted up." And you can see where white people get this notion about the bigger the gun they have, that's what is a peacekeeper. That's what they have nuclear bombs that are called peacekeepers, because it's like, look, either it's going to be our way and y'all going to accept it and like it, or we're going to blow the other hell up. Just like their forefather Alexander did during his reign. In the 12 short years it took him to conquer everything, yeah, if you don't follow and submit to our rule and our way of doing things, we'll destroy you. And that's why we're going to keep peace on earth right now. Verse 4. First Maccabees chapter 1, verse 4. "And he gathered a mighty strong host and ruled over countries and nations and kings, who became tributaries unto him. After these things, he fell sick and perceived that he should die. Wherefore, he called his servants, such as were honorable and had been brought up with him from his youth, and parted his kingdom among them while he was yet alive. So Alexander reigned 12 years and then died. I'm not really going to the breakdown with this because Tazapod really just covered this last, has been covering this for the past couple of Tuesdays, for Tazapod Tuesdays, under the title of Never Wax Pale, all right, which can be looked at or viewed or listened to with iHeartRadio podcast, Apple iTunes podcast, Google podcast, Podcast Addict, under ISBHPK Bible Talk. Under ISBHPK Bible Talk. You can check out the library and go pull those shows up, starting from the newest, going back to the oldest, and get the full, complete history, reference books, scriptures. The brother did a fantastic job with that. Please go check it out. So that's why I'm not going to spend too much time with this. I want to get to the point I want to get to. So 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 8, and he said, and his servants bear rule, everyone in his place. And after his death, they all put crowns upon themselves, so did their sons after them many years. And evils were multiplied in the earth. When white people took over, evil multiplied in the earth. Verse 10, and there came out of them a wicked root, Antiochus, surnamed Epiphanes, son of Antiochus the king, who had been a hostage at Rome. And he reigned in the 137th year of the kingdom of the Greeks. In those days, this is probably what I want to get you, brother. In those days went there out of Israel wicked men who persuaded many, saying, let us go and make a covenant with the heathen that are round about us. For since we departed from them, we have had much sorrow. So this device pleased them well. Talk about the Israelites. Saying, look, we need to go make a league and be aligned, make covenants, contracts, pacts, treaties with the heathen, because look at what's going on. We need to go ahead and accept their government. We need to accept who they are, and we need to be like them. But the Bible's saying that these Israelites that did that were wicked men. And it pleased Israelites well. Verse 13. Then certain of the people were so forward herein that they went to the king, who gave them license to do after the ordinances of the heathen. We wouldn't got licenses. We got permits so we could be like the heathen. At this time here in history, they were reading about First Maccabees, it was the Greeks. Today it's similar to when you hear get out and vote or die, when you have our people, over our people, pushing our people into the political mentality, pushing our people to accept the government and the ways of America, that we can do good for America. America the greatest country on the planet Earth. Exercise your right as a citizen to vote. Get your voter registration, your voter registration up. Get out and vote. Rock the vote. The Bible tells us that there's nothing new under the sun. Push your rights as a citizen of America. No different than our people was led very wickedly. Enforce your rights. Push your rights as Greeks. Accept Hellenism. Accept being a Greek and fall into the Greek way of life. Come on, you still have a lot of people today. When they go to college, they join a Greek fraternity or a Greek sorority. We're still doing this to this very day. Reading on, and God says this is wicked. Reading on, verse 14. Whereupon they built a place of exercise at Jerusalem according to the customs of the heathen. And yes, going back, y'all have seen pictures of the first Olympics. All of them was naked. All of them was naked. Running the 100-yard dash, butt naked. Throwing the javelin, butt naked. And yes, the Greco style of wrestling, two grown-ass men wrestling, grabbing each other in different holds, completely butt booty naked. Hot, sweaty, naked. The Greeks. Throwing the discus. Free as the day they was born. And many of our people participated in these events. In the weightlifting, the body sculpting. Do you think I'm pretty? Do you think I'm cute? Do I meet your approval? Reading on, verse 15. And made themselves uncircumcised and forsook the Holy Covenant and joined themselves to the heathen and were sold to do mischief. I'm going to jump down. Jump down to verse 41. First Maccabees chapter 1, verse 41. It says, moreover, King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people. Are y'all hearing this? The Bible always said that this is a wicked root. It sprang up out of when Alexander's kingdom was divided among his four top generals. That even as bad as things had already gotten, there was even one that was notably more wicked than all the rest, Antiochus, surnamed Epiphanes. Now we're dealing with this same bastard. And I'm sorry, but I got another word for this dude. First Maccabees chapter 1, verse 41. It says, moreover, King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people. You know, that I'm proud to be an American. In the place I know I'm free, so I'll stand up. The Whitney Houston national anthem, this mentality that we're all Americans and we all have rights and that we all should be one as Americans, that again, we should be all one. Erase the color lines. This same mentality was how the Greeks conducted their government. It's the exact same people. It's white people. So-called white people. Verse 42. First Maccabees chapter 1, verse 42. And everyone should leave his laws. So all the heathen agreed according to the commandment of the king. Yea, many also of the Israelites consented to his religion and sacrificed unto idols and profaned the Sabbath. And it says, you know, it's funny when we can look in the Bible, see words like idols and stuff like that. And then we look and see TV shows like American Idol. And there is no connection made about us sacrificing to idols. And you have shows like American Idol. You have shows like America's Got Talent. You got shows like America's Next Dance thing or whatever. All the sports championships that take place with the trophies. You have all the Emmy Awards, the Oscars, the Grammys. You have all the different types of awards that people work hard to achieve. But there's never a connection that these are idols. And it's from the American mentality, similar to what our people did during the time of the Greeks under Antiochus. Again, verse 43. First Maccabees chapter 1, verse 43, and we better get out of here. Yea, many also the Israelites consented to his religion and sacrificed unto idols and profaned the Sabbath. For the king had sent letters by messengers unto Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, that they should follow the strange laws of the land. Y'all ever wonder where that notion comes from? You have to obey the law of the land? That technically is nowhere in the Bible. But this is something that was being enforced by the Greeks, by people of the time of Antiochus, that the Jews, Israelites, who happen to be our people now, that they should follow the strange laws of the land. You know, similar to the mentality, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Reading on. Oh, it said, sacrifice to idols and profane the Sabbath. It's not about our people getting together as our people and keeping the laws of God. It's about us making sure we get together for, like, Juneteenth today. That make sure we get together for St. Patrick's Day. Make sure we get together for Martin Luther King's birthday. Make sure we get together for Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving. Make sure we get together for Valentine's Day. Make sure we get together for Father's Day, Mother's Day, birthdays, anniversaries. Forget the laws of God. Forget that we should gather together as Israelites and honor our God, the God of the Bible. No, honor yourselves. Find a way to make it about you. We never connect these dots, though. Somehow these dots just never get connected. Verse 45, 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 45. And forbid burnt offerings and sacrifice and drink offerings in the temple, and that they should profane the Sabbath and festival days, and pollute the sanctuary and the holy people. Set up altars and groves and chapels of idols, and sacrifice swine's flesh and unclean beasts. Come on, y'all. As I was on TikTok, that's my social media platform right now that I spend the most time on. I don't know how many crab boils, crawfish boils, jambalaya that are just coming up. And as the barbecue, it's definitely hot. It's summertime. The barbecue pork, the barbecue pork loin, the barbecue ribs, just in droves. And people have been cooking this stuff for so long, and they perfected it. Again, saying what? 1 Maccabees 71, verse 47. Set up altars and groves and chapels of idols. Going to the chapel and I'm going to get mad. That's an old song. And sacrifice swine's flesh and unclean beasts. That they should also leave their children uncircumcised and make their souls abominable with all manner of uncleanness and profanation. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to wrap this back around to Revelation chapter 18. What is Babylon the Great? This modern Babylon the Great? The hold of every foul spirit and unclean and hateful bird and all manner of abominations. If we can't see that this is all being repeated again, white people, their government being in charge, forbidding the laws of God and want to establish their own religion, government, laws, and if you don't lock in and follow, if you don't lock in and obey the laws of the land, destruction. Let's keep reading. I got to read verse 48 again. That they should also leave their children uncircumcised. I didn't read it again, and make their souls abominable with all manner of uncleanness, that you're making your soul abominable, disgusting in the eyes of God with all manner of uncleanness that we give ourselves over to, and profanation. I'm going to see if I'm giving this word profanation. Profanation, the act of violating sacred things. So to be profane or profanation is the act of violating sacred things or of treating them with contempt or irreverence, as the profanation of the Sabbath by sports, oh my God, amusements, or unnecessary labor, the profanation of a sanctuary, the profanation of the name of God by swearing, jesting, etc., the act of treating with abuse or disrespect. Wow. I'm sorry, but I'm definitely going to have to get this put on Facebook. Yeah, we're going to put this on Facebook for real. Damn. Reading on, verse 49. To the end, they might forget the law and change all the ordinances. And whosoever would not do according to the commandment of the king, he said he should die. In the selfsame manner, he wrote, to his whole kingdom and appointed overseers over all the people, commanding the cities of Judah to sacrifice city by city. And what did Antiochus do? What did the Greeks do? They set up overseers. So they had their own people being overseers over their own people, making sure that Israelites was going to follow the laws of the land, that we was going to conform to what the Greeks had going on. And we bet not be doing the law. We bet not be trying to please God. Then many of the people were gathered together unto them, to wit everyone that forsook the law, and so they committed evils in the land. And drove the Israelites into secret places, even whatsoever they could flee for succor. I'm going to leave that part right there, brothers and sisters. That Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9 tells us that there's nothing new under the sun. God requires that which is past. Chapter 3, verse 15, Ecclesiastes. Brothers and sisters, we can see the same thing going on again now. We can see these same events and mentalities being replicated today. And this is not the time that we want to be denying Christ. This is not the time that we want to deny Christ. So with that, the time is now, it's 12:15. I'm going to end class with that today, brothers and sisters. I'm going to end class with that right there today. And I do invite you, with today being Monday, today is Monday 6/19, Juneteenth. I'm going to invite you to please check out ISBHBK Houston on YouTube, as well as ISBHBK San Antonio, the Sword of Truth. Tonight, starting at 7 p.m. On either YouTube source. Check out the classes. Keep your knowledge going. Keep learning. Keep your head in the book. As we keep trying to strengthen our spirits for these days we're living in and what's coming ahead before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Yahweh Shai, does actually get here. All right? I believe that's it. I believe that's it for now. All right, so as I cue this up, for ISBHBK Bible Talk, my name is Mashaba, and I would like to say shalom.
Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our power, Yahweh.